Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
You're so hard-hearted, I can't say it. And so he takes chapter 6 and rebukes them. And chapter 6 is a rebuke about, man, grow up. Get on to some of the more important things. And then in chapter 7, he picks this up again about Jesus being a high priest and the legalistic Jew. Most of us aren't really into this, so some of you may not get the significance of it, but there was very strict restrictions on who could be a high priest. They had to be a Levite. They had to be specifically of the family of Aaron. And so there was very, very strict guidelines on who could be a high priest. Nobody just volunteered. You didn't apply. You had to basically be picked and groomed for it and birthed into this. And Jesus came from a different tribe, the tribe of Judah, the tribe of David. And so he was disqualified. The legalistic Jew would have rejected Jesus. And so he starts quoting from Psalms 110, verse 5, that talks about God swore through David that there would be a new priest after the order of Melchizedek, which is a person who is revealed in Genesis chapter 14. And anyway, I'm not going to get into this. I know that this is Charlie's favorite passage of Scripture, but I'm not going to get into this one. Amen. I was teaching on this over in London, and I spent about, 30 minutes on Hebrews chapter 7, and people were just looking at me, and I said, are you getting this? And Charlie goes, no. So he was just being honest, amen. He was listening. So I'm not going to bore you with all the details, but nonetheless, it is a tremendous, this is amazing how the Lord changed the priesthood by this prophecy that was made to David in Psalms chapter 110 verse 5, that there was coming a new priest after the order of Melchizedek. And Hebrews chapter 7 goes into great explanation about this. Melchizedek, it never listed his parents and it never talked about his descendants. And so in a symbolic sense, Melchizedek was never born because it didn't talk about his lineage. He never had any children. And so in type and shadow, he is an unchangeable priesthood. He didn't start, he didn't end. And he symbolized Jesus. And so that's what Hebrews chapter 7 is talking about. Let me go down to verse 15. This is Hebrews 7:15. It says, and it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Psalms chapter 110, verse 5. And look at this in verse 18. You know, if you have a Bible, you ought to underline this or do something and go home and study this. I'm not going to have time to give you all of this, but these verses right here would stand most of our religious beliefs right on their head. Look at this. Hebrews 7:18. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Radical statements. The point that he's making is that under the Old Testament law, you had to be a Levite to be a priest. Jesus wasn't a Levite, so, and he verifies that there was a prophecy about this, Psalms 110, verse 5, that there was coming a new priest after the order of Melchizedek. If you change the priesthood, then you got to change the law. This was not consistent with the Old Testament law. If you are going to accept that Jesus is your high priest, the apostle and high priest, then you cannot live under the law because Jesus wasn't a Levite. You can't keep the law. You can't be obligated to the Ten Commandments and try and keep them and thereby earn relationship with God. If you do that, you aren't under the Melchizedek priesthood. You're under the Levitical priesthood. They are opposites. They don't mix. And so the conclusion is there is verily a disannulling. Did you know that when you annul something, it means that you just void it? The word that is a synonym is abolish. For instance, if you get married and then you have it annulled, it's like you never were married. The law doesn't even recognize that it ever happened. It's canceled. It's abolished. It's nullified. And the word annul is a strong word. And when you put disannul on the front, you know all that is? It's like a superlative. If annulling something means to void, to cancel, to abolish, disannul just means to obliterate, totally destroy. It's wiped out. It's gone. It's over. It's done. It is a super strong word. You know, for time's sake, I'm not going to turn over there, but in Galatians chapter 3, it's talking about that there was a covenant of faith that was made with Abraham 430 years before the law came through Moses. And the first covenant of faith cannot be disannulled by the covenant of law. That's what it says in Galatians chapter 3. I believe it's around verse 15. It cannot be disannulled. The Old Testament law didn't disannul the covenant of faith and grace. It was made to Abraham. But when Jesus became Abraham's seed, Galatians chapter 3 verse 16 says that this promise was made to Abraham and his seed. Not seeds as of many, but as to one seed, and that is Christ. And the law, this must be verse 17, Galatians 3:17, says, "And I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that first covenant." That first covenant was based on grace. It wasn't based on Abraham's performance. Oh man, there's so much I'd love to say. I feel like the writer of Hebrews that there's much I'd like to say, but it's hard to be uttered seeing we're dull of hearing. And I'm not saying that in a way that's condemning, but we've been dulled by religion. What I'm saying is so simple that you have to have somebody to help you to misunderstand it. But we've had a lot of help misunderstanding it. There is so much religious bondage in us that the things I'm saying are so weird, I feel like I've got to explain it and verify it 1,000 ways. This is some powerful stuff. The law was 430 years after the first covenant. The first covenant took precedent, and it was fulfilled when Jesus came, and Jesus entered in the new covenant that totally disannulled, voided, abolished, did away with the Old Testament law. Not just a ceremonial law, but the law that was written and engraven in stones has been nullified, disannulled. Does that mean that we ignore it? No, there's still benefit from it. There is nothing wrong with the law. When he says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that nobody could ever keep that. And some of you think, "Well, I've kept that." The Bible says, Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, it mentions covetousness, and it says, which is idolatry. You know what covetousness is? Desiring something that you don't have. If any of you have lusted for a house, lusted for a car, lusted for a television, lusted for a DVD, a Blu-ray, somebody else's mate, anything you've ever lusted for, you've committed idolatry. You've broken the very first commandment. You may be like the rich young ruler that, "Oh, all of these have I kept from my youth up." This is Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And Jesus knew this guy hadn't kept every law. Nobody's ever kept the law. So you know what he said? It says he, beholding him, loved him. He didn't say this because he was mad at him and trying to punish him. He was trying to help him. And it says he, beholding him, loved him. And he says, "One thing you lack, go and sell whatsoever you have, and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me." And it says that the rich young ruler went away grieved because he had great possessions. You know what Jesus did? He was showing him, you've broken the very first commandment that says you shall have no other gods before me. Your money, you trust in your money more than you trust in me. For you to say, oh, I've kept the Ten Commandments. Most of you would sit here and fight, man, I believe we still need to live by the Ten Commandments. If you are so passionate for the Ten Commandments, stand up and tell me what all ten of them are. I bet you can't even list the Ten Commandments. If you believe so passionately for them, then it seems like you ought to at least know what they are. There's still benefit. I still benefit. It's right to have no other gods before him, but I am not living under that. And plus, I'm not living under the curse that came if you break the law. Christ redeemed me from the curse. I still look at those things, and I haven't thrown away the Old Testament. I study it, and I read it, and I learn a lot from it. But man, I praise God that I am not under the bondage and the curse of the Old Testament law. I read it, but I read it in the light of New Testament reality. So again, back to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 18. There is verily, this means truly. Every time the word verily is put there, this means he knows you're going to have trouble believing this. So he's just putting a little exclamation point here. This is true. I'm not lying to you. It's true. Amen. There is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. In verse 22, but it says, by so much was Jesus made surety of a better covenant. That covenants aren't equal. The Old Testament covenant was weak and unprofitable. It didn't make anything perfect, but the bringing in of a better covenant did. Jesus instituted a better testament, a better covenant.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-153 titled, The Law Has Power, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Our television and radio programs, our tapes, our books, our study guides, everything is designed to help share the Word with you. But you know, the very best way that I can get these truths into you in an in-depth way is through our Caris Bible Colleges. We have a campus right here in Colorado Springs with about 250 or so people. And then we have over 1,000 people that are in extension schools taking correspondence and things. There's many ways that you could take advantage of this, but I tell you, I just want you to be able to get saturated and immersed in this. And the best way I know to do that is through our Caris Bible College. So please call or write today.